Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Casey's General Stores. And today we're going to be joined by driver and car builder Les Duhlman. We're also going to hear from Jim Misgan from Misgan Auto Parts, plus a little more about our local Casey's General Stores, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Summertime's all about easy living at Casey's General Stores. We know how busy it can get, so make it simple and order online through the Casey's app. Don't forget to check out all of the new items available to order online, including our breaded pork sandwich, chicken tenders, potato cheese bites, hamburgers, and more. Right now, get two large made-from-scratch single-topping pizzas for only $20. Casey's, famous for pizza.
Record-breaking yields and low harvest prices. The value of on-farm storage is higher than ever. Start planning for next year now. An on-farm storage system from NASCO Equipment gives you the marketing flexibility to capture the best prices when the timing is right. And that can make a huge difference to your bottom line. Call us, NASCO Equipment, your local Baylin, GSI, and Farm Fans dealer. And make an investment now that will maximize your farm's profitability year after year. Call NASCO Equipment of Fairmont or International Steel Erectors today at 507-23
Napa know-how. The Napa Legend battery does legendary things, like starting your car when the heat index hits a buck 25, or making sure your AC stays running like a gazelle. And now, when you buy a Napa Legend battery, you'll get a prepaid Visa card by mail worth $15. $15 back and a new battery? That's not just legendary. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 8/31/17.
Returning home on a November evening, I hit a deer on 35W. Hi, this is Shelly. My first thought was, is everyone okay? My second thought was, oh no, my van. I love my van and rely on it every day. My first call was to Bob at Midwest Collision. He took care of everything from getting my vehicle towed to his shop, providing me with a loaner vehicle, and returning my van back to me in a timely fashion when it was repaired, all with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Accidents happen. If you have had an accident, call Midwest Collision at 332-2434.
Speed the Sauce Man here. Will you lend me an ear?
Our newest sauce is finally ready to eat. It packs a punch of heat with just the right amount of sweet. Get ready to greet another tasty cookie treat. Try it out on meat. Another food you'd love to eat.
Hey, barbecue lovers, you can now find our newest sauce, Cookies Sweet and Spicy, on the shelves of your local grocer. Learn more at cookiesbbq.com and on Facebook. And remember, smart cookies use cookies.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by Les Duhlman, race car driver and also builder of the Dirt Dueler chassis. And Les, I grew up across the street from the half-mile track at the Steele County Fairgrounds, and I tell you what, when the fair was over on Monday morning, if I got to ride my bike over there and there's a couple demo cars left over from the night before, we'd crawl in them, look them over. There was some exciting stuff to see and some great races to go to. I can't imagine growing up with your family business being a salvage yard, the cool things that you got to see and the things you got to do around the salvage yard.
We're definitely car people. I'm a car nut. I'm maybe, you know, engineer, have a bunch of education, but at heart, I'm still just a crazy old car nut. I mean, I bought the business from, me and one of my brothers bought it almost 25 years ago now, so we've been running Elmers for, you know, since 1992. Early on, it was something, you know, it definitely influenced me because that's what I was doing after school, weekends or whatever, you know, going out, learning cars and, you know, just kind of hanging around and learning everything from top to bottom. When you start taking them apart, you kind of learn how they go together, you know.
Your surroundings really molded you into what you are today, a racer and a race car builder. What do you remember about your very first race?
Oh, first race was in a 64 Chevelle. It was 327. It was a car built by John Rogge of Winona. I was 5'2", 82 pounds. So I wasn't exactly your normal-sized racer jumping into the street set class. I do remember getting lapped that night in the feature. Don't remember if I did in the heat race. Wasn't afraid, wasn't scared. Kind of thought it was pretty fun, and kind of out of it and said, yep, I'm ready to do it again next week.
What do you remember about that very first division you ran, and what tracks were you typically running then?
Well, you know, we ran a, it was, ran against a couple of cars. I mean, it was, there's a couple of 57 Chevys, a couple of Chevelles, like a 68, 69 Chevelles, 67 Camaros. It was kind of all, they had to be stock engine for the most part, built a little bit, but small skinny tires. I mean, we ran at River Raceways in Fountain City, and that was our weekly track. We ran a couple races up at Racers Raceway up in Bruce, and traveled over to Rice Lake Speedway once or twice, and got to Cassin. And I think that was probably about all the traveling I did, you know, when I was in the street stock, and I just raced it 2 years.
Was that the car that was on display at Steve Yagi's reunion that still had the blocks attached to the pedals?
Yeah, it had steel blocks welded to the clutch and to the brake pedals, and yeah, it had one of the old fiberglass bucket seats that only came up to your shoulder blades, basically, and had some nasty-looking seat belts by today's standards, and we had a couple 2x10s in the back and a couple 2x10s underneath to boost me up so I could reach the steering wheel and see over top of it.
When did you start running late models?
I was 15. We had a Sorensen copy car. It was a copy of the Kurt Hansen car that won a lot of races that Dick Sorensen had bought. That was built in Dick's shop by Dick and Mike and myself and my dad and a couple other crew guys that assisted. But we built that car. It had a big block, 475 cubic inch Chev, big block. And we ran the hobby stock class typically at Rice Lake, but at Fountain City and Cassin, which was our Friday and Sunday track, we ran late model. So, yeah, I was 15. That would have been, 1979, I guess.
The early Gopher 50s were really exciting, getting to see all of the big-name drivers from all over coming to my hometown, plus all of the innovations on their cars. What do you remember about those early Gopher 50s?
Well, I only ran, I think, about five of them, maybe. I ran the... Or maybe, I think maybe you ran six. I'm not sure. I ran the first two at Lansing. I remember the second one. I don't even remember the first. But when we got to Owatonna, that was a big time of change. I mean, we went from the Camaro bodies, 3,200-pound big block cars, to the lightweight 2,200-pound cars. And then we started adding all the aero stuff to them. And we turned, you know, everything turned into wedges. And in about 3 years, about 84 or 85, they were already starting to cut our bodies back. So it was kind of... It was kind of fun. It was, you know, especially with somebody that with me, I was the science kid. I was the, you know, I became, you know, I ended up going to school for engineering. I had a pilot's license already at 18, trying to work stuff that I learned in aero and just trying to, you know, go a little crazy. We everybody think I had a lot of fun. It was, like you said, kind of cool, the different ideas that were popping up on cars and stuff. But yeah, that was a pretty big revolutionary stage in dirt late model racing, for sure.
That revolutionary stage, is that what really set your future to be a car builder?
Well, not really. I didn't really have any aspirations to do that at the time. And really, after the 84 season, I basically retired as a driver because I got out of college. I graduated in 85, so here I am. I'm 21 years old, but I'm retiring. But like any racer, I ended up going to Ford Motor Company as an engineer. I worked for 5 years there. About 2 years of the time was spent doing racing projects, both in engineering and a little bit on the business side of things. But you get, as a racer, you get too, you know, it's, you get too close to the fire and you get burned. And all of a sudden, there I am in 88 dragging the old Pete Parker-built Rayburn copy out to go run a series in Michigan. And ended up driving for somebody in another year there, and then actually moved back to Fountain City in 1990. So I spent 2 years racing a little bit of late model dirt and asphalt over there. They called it super lates, and we had a series where we jumped back and forth between blacktop and dirt tracks, which was quite fun and interesting. And it also taught me, you know, a few different things, because you end up learning. Every time you go into a different type of racing, I mean, at Ford, I did cup race cars. I did some chassis design for a cup. I also did some chassis design for road racing for the Roush Trans Am series cars. So each time you touch on a different series, you learn a little bit more, and it kind of all blends together, and you have a, you know, this crazy knowledge base that you go off of, you know.
I had late model Hall of Famer Charlie Schwartz on the Dirt Show a few years ago. You drove a Charlie Schwartz car.
Well, yeah, it was a Rayburn car that Charlie had won the 1980 World 100 in. We had seen him run at Superior. There's a bunch of people in this area that still remember that day well because he made us all look like silly fools. We were out there racing a 3,200-pound big block, and he shows up with this 2,200-pound small block with some, you know, what everybody called humper tires back then and some big spoiler stuff on it, and proceeded to show us how you get around a racetrack a lot quicker than we were. And we bought the car. I learned a lot from Charlie and a lot from CJ, you know, working with CJ racing his cars for the next 4 years. And it was, you know, and then I spent time going over to CJ's while I was in college, because I was about 80 miles away from where I was in Terre Haute there at Rose Holman. And so I spent a lot of time over there and learning from both of those guys. It was a good experience.
What was your favorite car that you ever drove personally?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Probably the one I built that we won so many races with in 2004. I mean, it was my modified. I guess that was such a good car. We won about 70% of the races we were in that year. I know Arcadia, we had a 19-race stretch. Heat of the Features where we didn't lose, which is phenomenal. I mean, and you don't do that once or twice in your career, and most people don't get that chance to do that. And that was the year one, a USMTS race. And I guess that probably just that car was nice to race. I mean, that was a good car. And I guess I had a lot of good cars over the years, but that probably was my favorite. And we sold it right away because somebody wanted it. And maybe that was a mistake, but who knows? Life goes on, and you move forward.
Speaking of good cars over the years, you've had some area racing legends driving your cars, one of them being Mark Noble. How important is the feedback you get from veteran drivers like that, who can really feel a car and come back and tell you as a builder, it's not turning, entering the corner, or it's pushing in the middle of the turn, or when I exit the turn, I just can't get it to come out of there, to give you more precise feedback?
Yeah, that's something you always try to work with drivers, and even yourself. You know, when I'm in the car, you got to concentrate. Okay, first, you got to concentrate. Okay, what is it doing on entry? What's it do middle of the corner? What does it do on exit? You know, you've got to break it down that way, because there's different adjustments that affect different things. And then it's also good to have somebody on the outside watching. I know this year I'm kind of on injured reserve with my wrist injury and wrist rebuilding that I had done over the winter. I'm not driving. So it's another data point, you know, in that set of variables and stuff that you're going, you always want that outside feedback too. But yeah, the driver giving accurate feedback, really concentrate on what it's doing. And when we're working with young, you know, with some of these young VMOD drivers that are in my cars, you talk to them, and you're just like, okay, you gotta think about what it's doing, like you said, at different points on the racetrack. Are we getting in cleanly? Are we coming off straight? Are we sliding? Is the car sliding sideways? Is it just pushing momentarily in the middle? I mean, those kind of things is really important. And that's just beneficial to every driver. You've got to learn that feel and figure out how to do that, because that's how you talk with somebody else about making adjustments. And that's something we try to work with every driver we've got in the cars.
That's what really impresses me about the racer builder guys that are out there, because I know as a fan watching them out there on the track that not only are they trying to get through the pack and get to the front to win, but while they're doing that, they're also thinking inside their helmet, how can I make this car faster for the next time?
Yeah, and sometimes if you're following one of your customers, you're watching what that guy does. Or even if you're following one of your competitors, you're watching his car and you're comparing what his is doing, what you're seeing, compared to what yours is feeling. And when you're a builder, you're not out there every night trying to win that race. I mean, you are, but you're not, because sometimes you're, okay, I've got this set of ideas and I need to pursue them for, you know, a 2 or 3 week period. And because the nature of dirt track racing, you have a different surface every night, every race, every time you go on the racetrack. It's never exactly the same night to night, race to race, week to week, year to year. You know, it's always different. So you are sitting there trying to prove out a theory of your own or something. So you might look like a fool out there, you know, a few nights. And I know we've been there and have done that and tried different things. But when things click, it makes it a lot of fun.
The Dirt Dueler cars you build are doing great. Adam Hensel is running your A-Mod. He has been in victory lane at Mississippi Thunder Speedway and at Arlington. How did you guys team up?
Adam's been kind of been my vacation substitute guy here for a couple years. And, last year he went separate ways from the deal he had going on in the late models. And we get along good together, and our driving feel is pretty similar. So we kind of always, he liked my cars when I had them the way I liked them, and when he would get in them, and if he'd adjust them, I always usually liked what he had. So it was a good combination that way. And last year I had a couple extended vacations and had planned on having him drive. And I don't know, I'm going to be turning 54 tomorrow, which I guess by the time you play the program here, I'll be 54 for a couple days. But I just said, hey, you want to drive some more? And he said, yeah, and things worked out. I mean, we both had some good runs last year, and then I hurt my wrist in an accident and didn't even really realize it, but had to have some wrist reconstruction surgery over the winter. And I just said, hey, why don't you just come drive, and I'll be the setup man from the pits and watch the car. And I think it's helped me working with some of the other guys in the other classes too, being able to watch more of the guys watching more of their races and getting that point of feedback like we were talking about earlier.
You and Sean Walski also have seen success, and you are actually at the race shop tonight trying some new stuff on that car.
Yeah, we're working with a brand of shocks called Attax. They're out of central Wisconsin. The idea would come from a racer and a track promoter over there, Jerry Weigel, but he's got an engineering company that has them being built, and they're really slick, some really slick ideas, and we've been playing with them. We've got them on a bunch of cars and been winning a bunch of races, and tonight I'm sitting in the shock room before you called, and I got to go back in there after we finish the interview, but just trying some different pieces that they've made for us and putting together to see if we could make the just fine tuning at this point.
You also have a very successful driver running one of your supers.
Oh yeah, Jeff Brower has been really running well. I mean, last year he ran well, and this year I think his feature win count is ahead of last year, and I know he's really experienced, runs really well. And I mean, my son Brandon last year he's in grad school right now, so he didn't really race much this year. We've got a new car out for him, and we're trying to get the bugs out of the brand new car. We just ran one time so far, but his school schedule kind of necessitated not having any race car for most of the season, and that may be the case for next year too. I don't know what his schedule is going to turn out to be, but and Brandon was right in there racing with Jeff and with Tommy Richards, and had some other, you know, some good runs and a couple wins. So I think, you know, we're pretty happy with the way that's going. And I know, I think Jeff likes the car. He's not looking to change anything quite yet, I don't think. So we're happy. And he's been real consistent, winning at Menominee, Rice Lake, Jim Falls, and of course at Deer Creek.
A great quote on Duck Dynasty. Cy said a stop sign is merely a suggestion. Is a rule book for a car builder a platform to go by, to improve, or does it hold you back?
That's an interesting way to put it. Rule books are kind of fun sometimes. You read the rule books, you reread, and if you have an idea, you look to see if it fits in between a line here or there. And I guess I'm proud to say that there's a couple rules in these rule books that have come from some of the I don't know, more innovative ideas that I've had with my crew guys and stuff. So it's kind of fun, have that happen. And, you know, it's a little frustrating at times, but you know you're pushing the envelope, and people are noticing when they write rules specifically that go against something that you've done.
Racer days are coming up. What a cool event. That has to be a great time for you to catch up with some old friends.
You know, Dad, Elmer, most people know him, and but with the museum, he's got his one weekend that he brings a bunch of old race cars and stuff up at the Elmer's Auto and Toy Museum. A lot of guys show up. Last year, we had Ed Sanger there. I know, you know, Mark and Dave Noble were there, and, of course, Lyle Heinrichs and some other guys that you've had on the show. But, it's pretty interesting to see some of the old race cars. I mean, because, you know, I've been involved in it quite a long time. I started quite early and have seen a lot of different things, like you said, from different perspectives, you know, having done different cars. But, man, you look at some of these old modifieds from the 50s and the early 60s, and there was some thinking that really went on into some of the stuff that, you know, we've made the same ideas. We've been able to make or simplify how we do it because some of the equipment wasn't quite as refined and worked out. But yeah, I really like looking at some of those old race cars, and then you sit back and also think, like, man, were we really nuts, or were us collectively as racers nuts to get in cars like that? I mean, our cars are so safe now compared to that. But yeah, I think I enjoy seeing the people, but I also like looking at all the old race cars. Like I said, the ideas and the innovations that were done a long time ago are a lot of fun.
Les, me and you are the exact same age, and you have a lot of time left in your career to make an impact on racing. What are your goals as a builder?
I guess I'm proud to say that we have won, you know, with the same chassis and the same engine, we've won an IMCA feature and a USRA feature this year, almost back-to-back. And sandwich in there, I was a top three in a Wasota class. So we've been able to take a car that we've really worked on hard to get it to be where we can go back and forth between sanctioning bodies. We give up maybe a little here or there, especially when it comes to the USRA. But that, I guess I'd like to just build a few more cars. We're a low volume builder, but I like keep, you know, putting them in guys' hands that can win, and working with some of these young guys, I guess, is a lot of fun. Where my driving goes anymore, I'm not sure. With the, you know, with the wrist reconstruction, I may or may not be able to get to drive anymore. I don't know yet. I'd like to, but you got to be prime 100% to be out there, and I don't want to risk injury to myself or cause any problems to anybody else if I'm not. So, but I say, yeah, the building the cars is a lot of fun, and it's challenging. I mean, I like the technical challenge as much as I probably ever liked the driving. I mean, which is really saying a lot, because I love getting and strapping in and going fast, you know.
Les, I've been looking forward to this interview since I put the lineup together last winter. I knew it would be very informative for the listeners, and I've always wanted to do an interview with you since I started watching you race back in the late 70s, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
I appreciate it. I'm glad I could be on. It's a lot of fun, and I think hopefully you got a little insight into what I've been messing around with for the last 40 years of my life.
Thanks for being with us.
All right, thanks, Glenn. Bye.
After many years working on and repairing large commercial vehicles, Rod French opened his own welding, repair, and fabrication shop. For the past 15 years, Rod has run his fabricating business at his country home, offering welding and fabrication, as well as truck frame extensions. In 2012, the business expanded to include designing, building, and installing power lift hydraulic doors. From French's Repair and Fabrication Incorporated and Power Lift doors by French Manufacturing Incorporated. Give us a call at 507-374-9306.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie is the place to go for your next golf cart. And now with two locations, Miners Outdoor can serve you even better. Be sure to check out More Golf and Utility, located just 3 miles east of I-35 in Lakeville. Remember to ask about Club Car's new consumer golf cart, Onward. That's Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie and More Golf and Utility in Lakeville.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna, licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Why does the Ron Hornaday race team use Walker Performance Filtration Systems?
Well, yeah, you're talking to the right guy with using it. Ben and the whole Walker family has been part of our family for a long time. We've known them for a long time, and then when Ben started the Walker Performance Filtration System, we definitely had to try it. And then, I mean, he's had it on there for the last couple of years. It's been really supportive of what we've been doing in our racing program. We probably ran 35 races with two cars last year, so we got 60-something races on our cars. And, you know, you used the old filter before, and you know, every time you pull it apart, you always had that little dust ring around the top of the carburetor. And the last year and a half, 2 years, we've been using this filtration system for Walker. We haven't had any of that. We've been running two or three races without cleaning it, and unless it's really dusty, we might have to, you know, get two races out of it. But yeah, Ben's been a big help and a big plus for our racing, you know, for ordinary race cars. So I really got to thank Walker Performance Filtration.
See WalkerPerformanceFiltration.com or call them at 818-252-7788.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packaging when it comes to shipping your business products? Hi, this is Ryan. Here at Foamcraft Packaging, we provide a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all of our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call toll-free 1-844-655-2365. That's 844-655-2365.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is always a pleasure to be out in Allendale, Minnesota, and be joined by Jim Misgan from Misgan Auto Parts. And Jim, salvage yards were really the beginning of recycling in America. Back before recycling was even heard of, before it was cool or it was mainstream.
Yeah, the iron industry has been the main and most recycled item in the world, and it remains that way to this day. It is quite a big operation, and of course steel weighs a lot, so that makes a big difference too.
You are a car guy just like me. I would think the toughest decision would be when a vehicle has reached its potential. What I mean by that is when all or most of the salvageable parts have been taken off a vehicle and deem when it's time to scrap it.
Yeah, that is kind of a tough decision because every car is, you know, most of them are quite unique. And, you know, take for instance that little Rambler that you used to have, that I used to have, and then it ended up back out here in our yard. And boy, that was a tough one to finally decide to put that one to the crusher.
And then also the old airflow that used to be on the edge of the woods. And then I also remember every time you walked down the middle of the aisle, there was this cool Chevelle with these old, like, late 60s, early 70s graphics on the side. And you kind of get used to where those cars sit, and it's kind of hard, I'm sure, to get rid of them.
Yeah, it just kind of hurts a little bit when you do take some of them ones that have been a mainstay or actually a place where you can use that vehicle as a signpost and then send them down to the shredder. It is kind of sad, but you know, everything wears out.
Once a vehicle is deemed scrap, what happens to it? What happens to the tires, the battery, the aluminum, and the steel?
Well, we try to separate some of it off from there. Of course, we take off the wheels and tires, and we recycle the aluminum wheels and the steel wheels. And the batteries, we have to put them in a special place and drain all the oils out. And then when they're ready to crush, we take them out and we run them through our car flattener. It's a machine that's made up in central Minnesota by R.M. Johnson. He's been building them for about 50-plus years. So that's where they end up at, and then we haul them to the shredder after that.
What happens to the tires? I know they do grind them up and use them for asphalt. Are there any other uses for the tires?
Well, there are maybe a couple real small uses for them. Some of them will make like a swing set or a walking mat out of them. But, yeah, most of them end up either they use them in the highways or they end up in the landfill again. They just haven't figured out a good way of using the entire tire. We use so many tires in this country that we end up with more of them than they can use for their recycling purposes.
You also recycle ag equipment, semis, campers, trailers, and much more.
Yeah, even tractors. We seem to get a lot of tractors in. We even have some of them out in the U-Pole for people to pick their parts off from. Yeah, and semi-tractors, not a lot of them, but we still get in a handful of them a year and part them out too.
A big addition last year was the addition of the new yard, Mizgan 2. Don Masters purchased a mid-60s Nova body out of that yard and turned it into an extremely cool vintage stock car. There are still a lot of usable parts out there.
Yeah, that's an interesting yard. Cars in that yard are all from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And although there's not a lot of muscle car stuff left there. There is a few of them out there, but a lot of unique vehicles. Hudsons, we got Hudsons. You wouldn't believe how many there are down there. And we just simply call the yard M2 for Mizgan 2. And it is a pretty neat place to go with a, and it gives you kind of a, stepping back into ages gone past. It's a very different feeling walking around with all those old cars.
It probably reminds you of this yard when it first started.
Well, yeah, it is kind of close to what it was like here 45 years ago when we were first starting.
Jim, you also typically have some very usable sets of tires sitting in the front entry of the building, and that's always nice because, you know, for most people, that's a huge expense, getting a new set of tires.
Yeah, we usually have quite a few sets of four and two and even singles. And if they just pick up the phone, give us a call, our front desk people, they've got a list of them there, so they can look on their list and see if they have what you need. So you don't actually have to drive out here to look to see if we have them. Most of the time, they can tell you right over the phone if we have the size that they're looking for.
Jim, you're typically out in the truck going out and picking up cars around the area, and a lot of times you pick up drivers or repairables and have those here on the lot for sale right out front so people can come pick one of those up. What do you have currently in stock as far as repairables or some drivers people can buy for work vehicles?
Well, there's usually somewhere around 2 to 5 vehicles that could be repaired sitting here. I don't have the list of them in front of me, but if my daughter, Brenda, she keeps a good tab on what is here for sale, and if they want to call and ask her, she'll be glad to help them out on that. We also usually have some cars that we buy from dealers and some cheaper cars if people need a work car or something to get by with for a while. There's always a couple of them here for sale also, cars or pickups.
Daily shipping. Mizgan's is constantly pulling parts and shipping to people that cannot find those parts in their area.
Yeah, we have two guys that are pulling parts all the time for our customers. We have a guy in the shop there who can deliver the parts to the surrounding businesses, and that's his job. He just goes out and he delivers parts all day long all over the place.
Have you got out to see some racing this season?
Oh, yeah. We've been down to Lansing every week. Jeremy, our son, has been running down there, and I think he's third or fourth in points this year, and we're still waiting for that first win this year, but he's been close a couple of times, so hopefully he'll get one before the end of the year, and his car's been working real well for him, and so there's been a lot of exciting racing down there, fender to fender and lap after lap. It's been a good year for racing down there.
Have you been in a race car this year?
No, not me. I retired here a few years ago, so no, not me.
No enduro or no demolition derby either?
No, still got a mark on my hand from the last time I was in a demo derby 25 years ago, so that reminds me just to stay out of that demo car. Too old for that now.
Today we have one of the racing innovators in this area on the show, Les Duelman, and I'm sure you remember Les back when he used to race late models at Owatonna and around the area.
Oh yeah, Les, he's quite a legend, and then he has his dad has that, and him have that salvage yard over there, so we do a lot of wheeling and dealing with them, and yeah, they're quite a unique business over there, and they, you know, they recycle cars just like us, and he builds race cars besides, so yeah, he's quite a unique person, and he's very brilliant to be able to build his own cars. That takes quite a knack.
Jim, I know this is a family-run business, and what I always see is the people who work here have been here for years, and when you get that many years under your belt, you have a lot of knowledge in the parts industry, and that's what customers really appreciate about Mizgin Auto Parts, is not only the service they get, but the knowledge that they get here.
Yeah, I think that knowledge gained through experience is the best knowledge, because I've noticed that people that get out of college with a degree, they don't have what it takes right away. It takes them a little while. They have to get the experience. It's that in any part of life. I think experience is just really the thing that you need.
Jim, I appreciate you being here with us on the Dirt Show. If they would like to find out about some of the driver cars that you have, some of the repairable cars that you have, if they're looking for a certain part that they can't find, or would just like to come down here and go in your U-Pull lot and pull some parts for a vehicle that they need, how can they get a hold of you and find out more about your operation?
For the yard here at Ellendale, it's 507-684-2100. And if they'd like some parts for an older car down at the Glenville yard, the older cars, that is 507-383-1802.
Jim, thanks for being with us here on the Dirt Show.
Thanks again, Clayton.
Hey, Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad installed, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, or even a driveway or parking lot road graded, please let us know at Wolf & Sons. We have dump trucks, excavators, a backhoe, bulldozer, and road grader to help you with your large or small projects around your house, farm, or business. Call Wolf & Sons today at 455-3524.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels can be seen on the dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact, Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact, the Arrow 59 Series wheel has won more Monster Energy, NASCAR, Xfinity, and Camping World Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see arrowracingwheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
The big boys with the big toys.
Dale Enterprises are your tile main specialist. Your tiling system is only as good as your tile mains. Design, placement, and proper installation of your mains are key. Don't waste your time, money, and future yield potential on a poorly installed plan. Call Dale Enterprises in Morristown for all your field drainage and excavating needs. 507-685-2148. Dale Enterprises is your tile main specialist.
DuraDock strength and durability withstand the water and elements 24 hours a day. DuraDock's all-aluminum welded construction, stainless steel fasteners, and non-slip surface that stays cool even in the hottest weather. It might just outlast your water skiing days. Whatever you need, roll-ins, floaters, or sectionals, DuraDock has got you covered. And best of all, no tools are needed for installation, which leaves you more time to enjoy the lake. Contact Tony today at 641-529-0698 for standard or custom sizes. The last dock you will ever need to purchase. DuraDock.
If you're like me, you hate when your outdoor gas-powered equipment won't start. What I've learned is that most of these breakdowns are caused by ethanol and street gas, which eats up the fuel system, and warranties don't cover fuel-related repairs. Well, the experts at VP Racing Fuels developed a solution called VP Small Engine Fuel. It's an unleaded fuel blend with no ethanol, so it prevents those problems. The unleaded fuel is perfect for four-cycle engines, like lawnmowers or generators, and for two-cycle equipment like chainsaws and trimmers. VP's fuel is pre-mixed with oil. That means no measuring or mixing. Just pour it in and start it up. You'll find VP Small Engine Fuel, or SEF, in quart size and 1 gallon containers for smaller tools and 5 gallon pails for larger equipment. Try VP Small Engine Fuel, available at the Home Depot, or visit vpsef.com. That's vp-sef.com for more information. VP SEF is for use in small engines only and may not be used in motor vehicles.
Rhino Egg is now raising the bar even more by being the only manufacturer of rotary cutters in the world to factory fill all components with Lucas Oil and grease, adding even more value to the Rhino brand over the competition. Quality from the inside out. Visit rhinoegg.com to find a dealer near you.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Bev, the manager of the Casey's General Store on the corner of Austin Road and 18th Street in Owatonna. And Bev, August, you have a tremendous pizza special. People should take advantage of that before the end of the month. 2 for $20.
I know. Isn't that fabulous? Where else can you go and give your family a special treat without having to get dressed up and go out? 2 single-topping large pizzas for $20. It's fabulous.
Yesterday, I stopped at 2 Casey's stores, one in Stuart, Minnesota for breakfast pizza and gas in the morning, and one in Granite Falls for a refill on a cup of coffee on my way back from a field day out in western Minnesota. And what I find out about the Casey store, friendly staff, very clean, and they're remodeling the older stores and making them all consistent so it's easy to find.
They sure are. You know, they're improving everything. And, you know, Casey's is a very innovative company. They try to do the best for the customer and for the employees. They try to make things as easy for them as they possibly can. And all you have to do is stop in, check it out, and you will obviously see the improvements. They're fabulous.
And a great day is a day with a slice of Casey's breakfast pizza. And you now have the ham, plus the sausage and bacon, and you just told me you also offer a veggie.
We do. We don't put the veggie in the warmer, but we do make a veggie, and it's got onions and green peppers on it. And I'll tell you what, I like all of our breakfast pizzas, but the veggie is my favorite.
Also, the weather's starting to change. You can feel it now that the Steele County Fair is over, and you offer hot subs.
We do. We have a sub bar now, and all you have to do is stop there. We have all kinds of different toppings that you can put on it, different meats, all the veggies like you're used to from our competitors. And if you want it cold, we'll serve it cold. But if you want it warmed up, we can certainly do that for you.
And you have a beautiful bread oven. All the bread's baked right here in-house, fresh every day.
I know, and it's the worst thing, trust me. I have to smell that bread while it's cooking. And I don't have a whole lot of willpower, so I'm helping myself and sampling all of our breads, and you need to stop in and try it too. You'll really be impressed.
Casey's corporate-wide is a big supporter of some major charities, MDA being one of them, and this month while you're in the store, you can help out the kids.
That's right. You know, this month is muscular dystrophy, and as we all know who the founder of that was, and he's no longer with us. So we need to do that and keep this going in his memory. And it's such a great thing for the kids. You know, they get to go to summer camp, so we need to try to support that and help them because they are so deserving of it.
Bev, as always, thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
It's my pleasure.
Are you sick of trying to sell your car? Hi, this is Ken Snow from Snow's Classic. Avoid all those hassles involved with selling your own car and let Snow's Classic sell it for you. Located right across from Cabela's on I-35, your vehicle gets over 300,000 views monthly, and our highly rated website is visited worldwide. Cars are selling fast, and our inventory is running low. Whether you're selling a vintage car or a late model car, contact us at Snow's Classics today at 214-3554 and sell your vehicle the hassle-free way.
Hi, this is Jerry Scratch Daniels. You are listening to The Dirt Show.
KEFCO Racing specializes in oil pans for Chevrolet, Ford, Mopar, Circle Track, Road Race, and Street and Strip. Made in the USA by Racers for Racers. KEFCO Racing, valve covers, evac canister kits, excess panels for race cars, along with a full line of trailer and garage accessories. See KEFCO Racing's full line of products at their brand new website, KEFCORacing.com. And if you don't see it, it doesn't mean KEFCO Racing can't build it. Make American manufacturing grow. To KEFCO Racing, you should go. Built by racers you all know. See KEFCORacing.com or call them toll-free 1-800-770-3557. That's 1-800-770-3557.
Hey, you're pretty good with tools. Can you help me with a project?
Sure. What do you have in mind?
Wow, cool. That's my Batwing Chassis Outlaw Mini Mod. They offer kit pricing for the guys who are handy with the wrenches, and I save $2,000.
Batwing Chassis Outlaw Mini Mods are well engineered, and they're easy to work on. We should have this car ready to race in no time.
Wait a minute. How do you know so much about Batwing Chassis Outlaw Mini Mods?
Because that's mine over in the corner. Turnkey cars start at $8,999.
Yeah, I know.
Now, about that $2,000 you saved, don't you think?
Oh boy, here we go.
Find out more today at batwingchassis.com or call 507-456-5465 anytime.
Hi, I'm Ed Sanger, late model dirt driver, and you are listening to The Dirt Show.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is proud to announce for the 2017 Sprint Car season that our newest exhibit will be our salute to champion Sammy Swindell running in our museum from June 1st through October 1st. Stop in and view six of Sammy Swindell's winning sprint cars that Sammy drove during his illustrious career and his 1983 Chili Bowl winning midget race car. Plus, we'll have an exclusive interview with Sammy Swindell and award-winning editor Bones Bossier on video inside the Salute to Champion Sammy Swindell exhibit that you can only see inside the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Also, our Salute to Champion Sammy Swindell t-shirts and posters will be available starting June 1st. And don't forget to mark your racing calendars for Saturday, June 3rd, when the 28th Annual National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Induction Banquet will be held right here in Knoxville at Dyer Hudson Hall, and the USAC Sprint Cars return to Knoxville Raceway that same Saturday night, July 3rd. That's our Salute to Champion Sammy Swindell exhibit June 1st through October 1st at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum Induction Banquet and USAC Sprint Cars Saturday night, June 3rd in Knoxville.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself who has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one choice for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today, made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers Car Care products. Justice Brothers products are manufactured for industrial, agricultural, heavy equipment, and automotive equipment. Their high-quality products are used by today's top racing teams. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to automotive enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products distributor today at 952-934-7354 or visit our website at justicebrothers.com. Go with a winner. Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
This your old friend, Speed the Sauce Man. Welcome to the Dirt Track segment brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa was racing last Friday night, August 18th, in the IMCA Modified feature, Cody Connect over Ben Krause. In the Sport Mods, Colby Fett over George Nordman. In the IMCA Stock Cars, number 50, Heath Tulp over Chad Palmer. In the Hobby Stock A-Main, Brandon Nielsen over Chance Halatz. And in the Sport Compacts, Colin Rogers over A.J. Moyet. Granite City Speedway in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota was also racing last Friday night, August 18th, and the UMSS Sprint Car Series was on hand in your traditional non-wing Sprint Car A-Main, Mike Mueller over Kaylee Emerson. In the 360 Winged A-Main, Brooke Tantanel over Derek Lusk. In the B-Modified 20-lap feature, Tyler Keeter over Zach Benson. And in the Sport Compacts, Justin Skalitsky over Brittany Smith. Last Saturday night, August 19th, it was season championship night at Rice Lake Speedway in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. In the Wissota Modified A-Main, Corey Motter over Mike Anderson. In the Superstock A-Main, Nick Trainer over Eric Olson. In the Wissota Midwest Modifieds, it was Joe Champlin Jr. over Shane Halopka. In the Street Stocks, Eric Olson over Kevin Bogdanovich. And in the Pier Stocks, George Richards over Dustin Doty. Viking Speedway in Alexandria was also racing last Saturday night, August 19th. In the A-Modified A-Main, Zach Johnson over Tim Johnson. In the B-Modified A-Main, Justin Froming over Matt Thonas. In the late models, Don Shaw over Zach Johnson. In the Pier Stocks, Jesse Waldorf over Brock Volker. In the Street Stocks, Tim Johnson over Jeff Krause. And in the Super Stocks, Tim Johnson over Corey Taman. Ogilvie Raceway was also racing last Saturday night, August 19th. In the A-Modified A-Main, Jeremy Nelson over Jody Belfi. In the B-Modifieds, Zach Benson over Brandon Hines. In the Mod 4s, Adam Prevey over Dean Larson. In the Sport Compacts, Eric Cleesby over Brittany Smith. In the Street Stocks, Jim Gullickson over Russell Kostreba. In the Super Stocks, Dave Moss over Dexton Koch. Last Saturday night, August 19th, they were also racing at Arlington Raceway in Arlington, Minnesota. In the IMCA Hobby feature, David Johnson over Chris Playman. In the Sport Compact A-Main, Alan Lahr over Ryan Bryant. In the Sport Mod A-Main, Eric Bassett over Jeremy Brown. In the Junior Sportman Karts, Carter Drager over Owen Graft. In the Modified A-Main, Brandon Beckendorf over Tyler Limoges. In the Outlaw Hobby, Tate Harzen over Dakota Robinson. In the Sprint Car A-Main, Chris Graft over Trevor Serbus. And in the Stock Cars, Chad Schroeder over Matt Speckman. Deer Creek Speedway was also racing last Saturday night. In the USRA Modified A-Main, Jason Cummins over Dustin Sorensen. In the Super Stocks, Jeff Brower over Tommy Richards. In the Street Stocks, Zach Elward over Danny Richards. In the Midwest Modified A-Main, Ryan Wettstein over Ryan Gergen. In the USRA B-Mods, Jackson Hale over Dustin Cruz. And in the Slingshots, Colton Brower, Hunter Kennedy, and Tucker Jacobs all get victories. The UMSS Non-Wing Sprint Car Series was also racing last Saturday night at Cedar Lake Speedway in your traditional non-wing Sprint Car A-Main feature, Brad Peterson over Cam Schaefer.
This is Mark at Courage Ford Highway 218, Blooming Prairie. If you're in the market for a different car or truck, please stop in and give us a try. We keep a nice selection of new Fords and used cars and trucks of all makes and models. So stop in and give us a shot. You won't be disappointed. And call for all your service needs. Doug will take great care of your auto. Give him a call today. That's at Craig Ford Highway 218, Blooming Prairie, your service-minded dealer.
Lou Fager's Racing in Delano, Minnesota is this area's authorized Rocket and Shaw Chassis Repair Shop, offering a full-service online store at fagersracing.com. Log on and join our email for updated newsletters and check out the LFRE Superstock, Modified, and Late Model chassis, including all the IMCA and WSOTA parts you need. Lou Fager's Racing has decades of experience in making fast drivers even faster. See them online at fagersracing.com or give them a call at 800-328-3618 and they'll get the parts you need, compliments of Lightning Lou.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.